Well, good morning, Cameron Nichols. See? He always thinks I say the same thing when I come up here, so I had to change it up and throw in his name. So.
Oh, you do.
Yeah. Oh, I do. I know. Well, how off are you going to start? You got to start off good morning, right? Morning. Glad to see everyone here this morning on this fine, fantastic holiday weekend. Thank you for giving up your time to be here with us this morning. Hey, we're closing in on our current series, Strong Courage Over Fear. And next week, we will wrap it up. And we've spent a lot of time talking about the dreams that God has for our lives, haven't we? We've actually talked a lot about in this series and even the series before this. And whether you want to believe it or not, God has big plans for you and your life. He has big dreams for you to chase. And while sometimes those dreams seem impossible, and they very well may be impossible if God doesn't get involved, we can be fearless in our obedience to what God has called us to do, because we know that the outcome doesn't rely on us or our own abilities, right? Amen? The outcome relies on God. And that's what we talked a lot about last week. So do what he has called you to do, and if you don't know what that is, well, that's probably a great point to start at. Where I would start is figure out what God has placed you here on this earth to do. And here's the kicker. For a lot of people, we believe we are here to please ourselves. You're not here for yourself. You are here for someone else. And the verse that has been kind of our overall theme for this series is found in Joshua 1:9. It says this, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now, when I read a verse like this, I get fired up. I get fired up because you're saying I don't have to be terrified and I don't have to be discouraged because you're going to be with me, like wherever I go. That fires me up. But maybe that doesn't fire you up. Maybe you've lost your courage and maybe your strength has been depleted. Maybe you just have simply forgotten the promise that God has said that he would be right there with you wherever you go. Or maybe sometimes you just have this giant task in front of you and you're just too tired to finish. How often have you wanted to give up on God's promises because you just didn't want to continue? Or maybe you felt like you couldn't continue. David Lloyd George said, "There is nothing so fatal to character as half-finished tasks." And dare I say, there is nothing so fatal to Christian character as half-finished tasks. God has called us to something, you and I. He has called us to complete a task in his name in order to draw others closer to him. And if we aren't stepping up to that task, if we are simply sitting here week in and week out being comfortable, then shame on us. Shame on us. "Well, Pastor Brent, we've tried this and it didn't seem to work, and we've tried that and I'm not sure it worked." Thomas Edison once said, "Genius is 2% inspiration and 98% perspiration." Edison worked 18 hours a day and practiced Herculean patience. Once he recognized the value of an idea, Edison stayed with the process until he discovered its secrets. His alkaline storage battery became a reality after 10,000 failed experiments. Edison is saying here that in order to accomplish great things, it only takes a little bit of inspiration and the rest is a lot of hard work. And the same goes for the ministry here at FBC. Uh-oh. Might get a little uncomfortable in here. I actually might not have very many friends after this sermon. Because the problem, dare I say it, is the lack of effort in the work. Does anybody know what the definition of insanity is? Albert Einstein said, "Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results." For the most part, for years here at FBC, we've been doing the same thing over and over again. Maybe a few new things sprinkled in here and there, I'll give you that. But by and large, we've been doing the same things. We've been doing things how we've always done them all while expecting different results. Well, how come we're not getting any new people? We're doing the same thing we've always been doing. There's our problem. Do not give up or lose hope. The end is worth the fight. In his book, Autopsy of a Deceased Church, Tom Rainer talks about churches who refuse to look like the community where the church is located. And he goes on to talk about how the church becomes more like a fortress. And in talking about that, Rainer says this: those in the church were more concerned about protecting the way they did church than reaching residents of the community. When a church ceases to have a heart and ministry for its community, it's on the path toward death. Now, there are some people who may say, look, I do have a heart for and ministry for the community. I'm just tired. I'm older. I've put my time in. And I think God has a message for those people and the rest of us this morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and open up to Joshua 13. We've been hanging out in Joshua during this series, and we're at chapter 13 this morning. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. It starts out like this. And you need to underline this first verse. When Joshua is old and well advanced in years, the Lord said to him, you are very old, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. And I'm going to skip, actually, the next couple verses because it's just God telling them these little pockets of areas, and you can read that on your own. Hopping down to verse 6, it says, as for all the inhabitants of the mountain regions from Lebanon to Misroph, Maam, that is all the Sidniums, I myself will drive them out before the Israelites. Be sure to allocate this land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have instructed you, and divide it as an inheritance among the 9 tribes and half of the tribe of Manasseh. So here we have Joshua, and he's old. And actually, by this time, Joshua is around 95 years old. And in these verses, we find out that there is still some land that has yet to be occupied by the Israelites. They've gone into the promised land, they're occupying these territories, and there's still these pockets of land where there's enemies on there that they have yet to defeat through their previous victories. There's these little pockets of land that still have not been touched and need to be conquered. And I love the opening of this chapter, when Joshua was old and well advanced in years. Folks, he was past his prime. You with me? Or at least Joshua thought he was past his prime. And the Lord said to him, you are very old. Thanks, Captain Obvious, right? I didn't already know that, thanks. I got all the pains and my joints and everything, thanks. You are very old, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. You know how I read this? You know how I read this? I translate this. This is the Brent translation of this. Hey, Joshua, man, you're old. But guess what? You got a lot of work to do. And since you ain't getting any younger, I'm pretty sure God used ain't. But since you ain't getting any younger, we better get on it. We better get on it. And I wonder how many folks need to hear this from God this morning. Hey, yeah, you're older, but there's still a lot of work to be done, and we need you. Going back to Joshua chapter 1, 6 through 7, it reads, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. It's the same message for us. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people in Williams County. You will lead these people in Bryan, Ohio. Be strong and courageous. Ownership of the land depended on God's faithfulness, but get this, but occupation of the land depended on Israel's faithfulness. He was going to give them the land. It just took their faithfulness to go and take it. You with me? And while it took God's faithfulness in providing for them the land, it also took a lot of hard work, dedication, strength, and courage to occupy it. You with me? You follow me? And here's the thing. It has taken God's faithfulness to put together a group of believers here on the corner of County Road C and 13 in Bryan, Ohio. And now, God is depending on our faithfulness to continue to spread the love of Jesus Christ to our community and beyond. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8, right there on the screen. Paul's talking here to Timothy. He wrote a letter to Timothy, a younger pastor, and he said, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Paul was nearing the end of his life, the end of his ministry here on this earth. And he was able to look back without regret or remorse. The use of three Greek verbs here in a row, have fought, have finished, and have kept, indicates completed action with continuing results. Paul saw his life as complete. He had been able to accomplish through the Lord's power all that God had called him to do, and he was anticipating his heavenly reward. Paul looks back on his life and says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." What about you? Will you be able to say the same? On March 6, 1987, Eamon Coughlin, the Irish world record holder at 1,500 meters, was running in a qualifying heat at the World Indoor Track Championship in Indianapolis. With 2.5 laps left, he was tripped. He fell, but he got up and with great effort managed to catch the leaders. With only 20 yards left in the race, he was in third place, good enough to qualify for the finals. As I was reading this, I was like, oh, this is one of those feel-good illustrations of feel-good stories with a happy ending. He looked over his shoulder to the inside, and seeing no one, he let up. But another runner charging hard on the outside passed Coughlin a yard before the finish, thus eliminating him from the finals. Coughlin's great comeback effort was rendered worthless by taking his eyes off the finish line. It's tempting to let up when the sights around us look favorable. But we finish well in the Christian race only when we fix our eyes on the goal, Jesus Christ. As I read this story in my office, I thought to myself, I wonder how many of us in ministry here at FBC start letting up. How do we get comfortable? I'm just going to let up. And then what happens? The church begins to decline. You must not let up. Continue to reach for the dreams God has given you. We as a church must not let up. We must continue to strive for the dreams God has given us as we reach out to this community. We must continue to pursue God and pursue people and do whatever it takes short of sinning in order to do that. What have you locked away out of fear and or failure? Remember the call, the dreams that God has given you. One of the shows I enjoy watching is America's Got Talent. Anybody watch America's Got Talent? A couple of us? Yeah. We'll have to get together and watch it over my house sometime. This past week, everybody was in bed, and I was downstairs, and it was getting late, and I decided to turn it on, and I'm glad I did, because this past week, there was an act on the show, and the minute I saw it, I knew I had to show it this Sunday. So take a look, check out this clip from America's Got Talent from this week. Here's three older guys who have been singing together for over 50 years. And when Simon asked them what brought them to America's Got Talent, I love the response, because we never stop dreaming. And if you listen to the words of that song, I just was listening to them. It's been a long time coming, but change is a coming. They have never given up on their dream. They have never stopped dreaming. Do you feel like you won't be able to finish the task that God has called you to? Don't worry. It's not about your strength, it's about God's strength. All you must do is remain obedient. And to me, these guys can be an inspiration to us. Don't stop dreaming. Don't give up on the dreams God has for you. Even in your old age, God still has use for you. God still has a plan for you. And God still has a plan and big dreams for this church. We just have to be obedient and faithful. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for Joshua's story that we've been able to walk through these last several weeks, and we'll finish up next week. But Father, we thank you for the words you spoke to him that we read this morning. Hey, Joshua, you're old, but we still got a lot of work to do. And those words speak true to us this morning here at FBC. This congregation is an older congregation. We've been here for 125 years plus. We've been around a while. But we still got work to do. Father, help us to realize that. Help us to never stop dreaming. Help us to be like the masqueraders who had a dream to make it big, using their voices. When they're asked on why they came to America's Got Talent, they said, because we never stopped dreaming. And when we stop dreaming, that's when we just become comfortable. We don't move and we don't do anything. We become stale in the life of our church, and we become stale in the life of our spirituality. We begin to look inward instead of outward. Father, help us never to look inward, but help us always look outward, because that's what you've called us to do, to pursue people. Father, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray.